Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in on this Thursday morning. It's a Thursday, so we get a new week of NFL action. Thursday night football. Can't say I'm jacked about this one, I'll be honest with you, given the two teams involved and the injury reports that are going out. We'll get into that matchup in a little bit in 20 minutes from now. Later this hour, our full breakdown on Survivor in this week. A lot of options. If you're still alive, I think there's a decent chance many of you still are. Not a lot of carnage throughout the year. It feels like every week, okay, this might be the week. This might be the week. There's been one week where you had pretty much a handful of chaos, but outside of that, not so much. A lot of NFL injuries to report on, which gives us line movement with quarterbacks, replacements being announced already this week. We'll get to that. Some college plays. We'll be joined by Matt Fortuna on some college football. Paul Charchian. He'll give the Vikings perspective, fantasy football, prop betting perspective, all that stuff. And we'll get a book report from Chuck Esposito coming up today on the show. Well, things have changed quickly. First off, finding out as we start the show, we got tech issues. We're not going to have Sam Panionovich. I don't know if we will in 5 minutes. I don't know if we will in the next segment. I have no idea, but I'm here to keep you company right here on Bet Sweats, I guess. And thinking, okay, we got to start with that Bulls play that we kept talking about. We did hit that one last night against the Detroit Pistons, hosting the Pistons. Home dog, Bulls come through. We had many factors going in on that game. We had, but the biggest one was, of course, the room. They were all in on it. So the TNT, I guess now ESPN broadcast, those two sides were played heavily. Like, yes, technically the room was on one of the sides, but the first and third most popular plays were the two sides in the game. People wanted action on it. They were going to watch the game and they wanted to pick a side, and that's what they did. But aside from that, the most popular play was Detroit. Detroit as a road favorite. Alarm bells were going off, so we said, let's play the Bulls, and the Bulls come through. They start the season 1-0 on the year. Thought we would start with that, or maybe even the matchup of Wemby going up against Flagg late last night. Wemby's performance certainly worth discussing, but no, it is NBA related. It's just not any of those stories. So in this past hour, if you've not been attached to the internet in some way, it's all about gambling this morning in the NBA. The NBA is back, but now Adam Silver has to deal with some stories that he doesn't want to deal with. Here's Shams Charania about an hour ago. Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier was arrested early Thursday morning as part of an FBI sports betting gambling probe, sources tell ESPN. The Eastern District of New York, an FBI director, will hold a press conference at 10 a.m. Eastern to announce arrest from the investigation. What, the director of the FBI is now involved. Like, it was cute and funny to some when we would have stories about Tim Donaghy or like in the NFL, oh, Calvin Ridley, you're so stupid. How could you do some, have a DraftKings account in your own name, this and that. Like, that was kind of cute and funny and ridiculous. And then you had like a bunch of no-name Lions players that got in trouble a year or so ago as well. Like, how dumb can you be? Well, now we have the director of the FBI involved with the NBA. And within that same hour from Shams, Portland Trail Blazers coach Chauncey Billups has been arrested by the FBI for alleged illegal gambling, sources tell ESPN. So there's a lot on Adam Silver's desk going on this morning. So if we go back in time a little bit with Rozier, this is not something new. Miami Heat guard, when he was with Charlotte a couple of years ago, he exited a game early. Now there were reports that people were hearing, oh, Rozier's going to exit this game early. And it happened after about 9-10 minutes of game time. Of course, the conversation about the prop bets, all the unders, people were keeping an eye on that. And then, you know, floating it out there. Hey, I heard he was going to exit early. He did not play last night, Rozier. And then this Billups story. This is a guy that's been a head coach in the NBA. And here's the headlines that I'm seeing now from ABC News. Portland Trail Blazers coach Chauncey Billups charged in illegal poker operation tied to mafia, according to ABC News sources. What is going on? Billups, in his fifth season as head coach, was arrested in Oregon, where is expected to make an initial court appearance on Thursday, sources said. So we're going to obviously be keeping a close eye on what happens at this press conference coming up in less than an hour from right now. But the NBA world has been flipped upside down. And remember, this is on the heels. Let's go through every sport. Like NBA, top of mind. Okay, we got these two stories today. And we've had others. NFL, I just mentioned a couple off the top of my head. Major League Baseball, do you remember what happened at the beginning of the season? Shohei Ohtani was the number one story, but not for baseball. Not for making it to the World Series. Not for his Game 4 performance. For his guy. His name involved. So, this is not going away, people. These sports leagues have gotten in bed with the sports books and things have gone wrong. Very, very wrong. And now there is a positive side. And I'm sure we'll get details on some of this, exactly how it all went down. But how'd they catch him? Probably because of legalized gambling. Legalized sports books. I'm not saying you need to bow down and kiss their asses or whatever, but that's probably why they got busted. So what was it going on before the leagues got in bed with these sports books? Of course it was, but probably not the same level. It wasn't there in an app. It wasn't there at a halftime show, a pregame show, screaming in your face, go to this app. It wasn't there in the arena saying, this is the halftime line, go bet it on your app and use this one because they sponsor us. Fascinating. Fascinating what's happening in the NBA right now. Two massive stories. We're going to get more. I believe there are 6 or 7 arrests that went on involving this. Rozier, Billups, a lot more to come. All right, we bring in Sammy P. Sam Panionovich. He's in New York. If you're with us on a regular basis, you know on Thursdays, he does the show from New York. How you feeling, Sam?
Good morning. I got to WFAN at 8:30 and got upstairs, and they said, who are you? And I said, great start.
Exactly.
And then they said, we'll see if there's a studio for you. And everything that followed after that was kind of like plugging a square peg into a round hole. But we made it at, what time is it? 9:07? We made it. I don't think we're going to have video because the laptop that I was given, I think, was built in 1999. I don't think video will be popular today or possible today.
I think we'll find a space for you somewhere, somehow. No, I thought we heard yesterday we're all good. I thought that's what I saw. That's what Rambly said. Yeah, we're all good.
Who are you? Who are you?
Who are you? They said, who are you? How was that process? Was there more security than what you deal with in Chicago?
No, the security system was fine. It was just getting upstairs and then finding room. But I have an audio board, and then we were trying to patch everything together. Nobody really cares about all the theatrics that go on behind the scenes. I just thought that
it is funny.
Who Are You was very funny. Who Are You is great.
I think all of our listeners and viewers have dealt with a situation like that. Where you show up somewhere, there's supposed to be something all set. We're good to go. Okay. Who are you?
Yep.
Who he played for?
Who he played for. I saw last night they did Who He Broadcast For with Barkley, and he had no idea. They were showing all the new networks that air the NBA games, and then they flashed up Del Curry. And you could see the hamster spinning in Barkley's head. He had no idea who Del Curry broadcasted for. It was very funny.
Dude, I would have no idea. Right? Were you talking about the team broadcast, or is he like on Peacock or one of those networks?
I think he's on Amazon. So they did Brent Berry. They did
Brent Berry's back?
Del Curry. And Chuck is trying to guess who they broadcast for. The old spinoff of Who He Play For, which is one of our favorite segments. But they did Who He Broadcast For last night. Very good.
I would have had no idea. I would have failed miserably, much like Chuck. A lot of the times it's players that he probably should know when you are the most famous NBA analyst out there. And he has no idea, but people really don't care because it's Chuck and they love him. Have you seen, I know you've been dealing with all the tech issues just trying to get on the air. But have you seen at least the headlines and everything going on in the NBA with Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier this morning?
The head coach of the Portland Trailblazers being arrested by the FBI for gambling is, I don't even know what to do with that headline. It's
right.
Insanity. And obviously the details will flow out over the next, I'm going to guess, 12 to 24 hours. We're going to get a lot more information here. I'm trying not to say something that I don't have a full grasp on, because I think there are going to be a lot of details that we need to iron out. But that's a 1-2 combo, right? That's a left and a right hook early in the morning, first thing on a Thursday. And you just wonder, how bad is it? How big is it? Was he actually, and these are the questions I'm asking rhetorically, of course, was he playing poker with his friends, or was he shifting lineups that affected the point spread or the total? Like, these are the things that I don't know, and I'm sure we're going to hear more and more over the next few hours or so. But this is certainly not a good start to a Thursday for the NBA, no doubt.
I don't think that we can understate how big this is. Like, we don't know. We're waiting. We'll find out at this press conference in about 45, 50 minutes from right now. But I do know one thing. The FBI director is involved. That's not good. You don't call in the director of the freaking FBI if it's no big deal. If it's just another professional player, oh, he took some bets. He's not supposed to bet. He knows that. He'll be suspended for a year. Doesn't that kind of tell you that it's something way, way bigger than something we've seen? Even Jonte Porter last year. It feels like it's got to be something way bigger than that.
When you see federal probe and three letters, whether it be NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, never good. I have the New York Post story up right here. So Billups, and I'm sure you talked about some of the details in the first 5-10 minutes of the show, but Billups has been charged in an illegal poker scheme linked to organized crime. Rozier has been under investigation for unusual betting activity. So they appear to be two completely different issues. And that's what I saw this morning. And I was in a group thread with the Bear Bets team, ironically enough. And one of the guys was like, wait, was Chauncey playing poker or was he fixing games? And again, we don't know yet. And I don't want to say something that isn't true, but if he's playing illegal poker, I don't think it's as big of a deal as putting this guy out there or taking this guy off the floor third quarter, fourth quarter, to affect the outcome of a basketball game. Like, I think you can draw a line between basketball activity and off-the-floor activity. That's just me, though.
Yeah, these are separate cases. That is something at this moment that we do know. Here's from the ABC News story. Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier and former Cleveland Cavaliers player and assistant coach Damon Jones were also charged in a separate but related, illegal gambling case. They're among six people charged Thursday with turning professional basketball into a criminal gambling operation by using inside information to place unlawful wagers, law enforcement sources told ABC News. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, there's a lot to uncover there. We might have to clear the decks a little bit when we get a little bit. We get a few more details there. A lot of NFL injury news that we're going to break down. Lines are moving, man. And, you know, it's funny because I see headlines yesterday. Mariota in. Oh, my God. Breaking news. Jaden Daniels was out. But we knew that. The line was telling us that. And then the line adjusted again. The line went even further. I mean, now we're you look at Pinnacle this morning, Sam. That line is KC minus 13.
I thought the line was already saying he was out. So
right.
I'll put my hand up and admit that I took 11 with Washington, thinking that Daniels was out. And then you get the official news, and there's another flux of cash. We'll follow it. I still think the number's too big.
Yeah, it's a monster number, but it tells us it's just going to climb. It doesn't mean you were wrong. It means that they received more bets on the other side, and they decided to make a move there. Joe O, Sammy P, you got bet sweats. Coming up next, Thursday Night Football. We'll break down that game, Vikings and Chargers. You've got the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, Sammy P with you. Thursday Night Football to kick off another week with NFL action. We've got the Vikings and the Chargers. And Survivor, this is not an option. It's one of the few games this week. It is not an option, but we will give you all of your options. Coming up in 20 minutes, a full breakdown, everything going down there. We'll get some college football coming up in the 10 a.m. Eastern hour. Sam, Vikings, Chargers. Any excitement?
Yeah, I'm excited for J.J. McCarthy to play. Duh.
No, that's not going to happen. The soft benching continues. Once again, he's good enough to play. If QB1 and QB2 go down, he is the emergency quarterback for the second straight week. So that's the chatter. Is this a soft benching? I've heard people push against it, say it isn't. I think it is. Like, at first it was an injury. I believe the injury. The dude is healthy enough to play. He wouldn't be in a position where, okay, if X happens, if Y happens, you're going to be out there, right? If he's good enough to play, he should be your starting quarterback, especially after what we saw with Wentz. I think what it probably is they don't want to throw him in the short week. It feels like if this was a Sunday game,
that McCarthy would be playing. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know what the hell is going on here, man. Wentz made some brutal mistakes. Brutal mistakes that ended up probably costing the Vikings the game against the Eagles over the weekend. What, you're a McCarthy guy. Like, you believe in this guy long term. What do you think is happening? I mean, this isn't not year one. This is year two with this guy in the system.
I don't know if it's mental or physical or a combination of the two, but this appears to be shielding of their young quarterback. And, you know, somebody the other day on social, so give him a break. He just had a child. And you're like, nobody wants to hear that in Minnesota. Joe, no. You got two kids. Could you not work when you had your kid? I mean, you could. You could get to work. You could do your job. You could take care of the kid when the work hours are over, but nobody around the Vikings, no fans of the Vikings want to hear, give him a break, he just had a kid. Several players on the team have kids, and yep. They come to work just fine and do their job. This feels so much deeper than this, and of course, you're not going to know the true reasoning at this point in time. He appears to be relatively healthy. So do they just not trust him? Question mark. I'm asking a ton of rhetorical questions today. I know that, but I have no idea what to expect with the Rozier and the Billups thing. And I have no idea what the hell is going on in Minnesota. None.
It is a wild day. It fits right in with the rest of the week, right? With everything that's been going on. No, I mean, look, yeah, it's ridiculous. He's a professional athlete. They can get help. I know he's not home with his family. Like, that's a little challenging. There are a lot of people that are dealing with this exact thing. Like, I don't understand this whole he just had a kid thing. Sorry, especially when you're in the NFL and you have an off season. It doesn't stop. Like, life doesn't just suddenly stop right now. Oh, I'm gone for a month. I know it's more acceptable nowadays, but that's not how it works in this world, especially if you're a professional athlete. So I don't know exactly what's going on. Here's what we do know. Wentz is starting again. They're going with Wentz. He's going to be your starter on the road. And this line has been moving up. 2.5 to 3.5. The total has been moving up. I see it as high as 45 right now after sitting 43 earlier in the week. This is very challenging because of the injury report. As we sit here on Thursday morning, there's a lot we don't know. We have no clue about these offensive lines. What is the state going to be tonight? Are they going to push these players to go? Are the players going to push themselves to go? Or is it going to be like, look, it's a Thursday. Let's not get crazy. We have a whole season to think about. Let's take it easy and not play this one. Then you get like a mini bye week coming up. So here's what I'm talking about. The left tackle and the right tackle for both teams, not just the Chargers and their O-line issues. Left tackle, right tackle for both teams are listed as questionable. The left tackles, of course, Darrisaw from Minnesota, Joe Alt for L.A., and then O'Neal, right tackle for the Vikes, and Pipkins, the right tackle for the Chargers. All of them listed as questionable. O'Neal, Alt, Pipkins limited yesterday. Darrisaw did not practice. He practiced Monday, Tuesday, does not practice on Wednesday. What does that mean? Was there any kind of a setback? I have no idea. So every starting offensive tackle in this game is a 50-50. Don't know if they're going to play. You have good coaching. I think that's interesting because a lot of times you'll fade the new coaching on Thursday night. The bad coaching, you'll end up fading that. That's a betting angle. But that's not really the case because you've got Harbaugh on one side and maybe the best 1-2 combo, offensive-defensive combo in the league with O'Connell and Flores. So that's interesting. You've got the Chargers. They start off hot. People start saying the words Super Bowl when discussing them after going 3-0. And since then, they've lost 3 of 4. The O-line protecting Herbert has been in shambles. And for the Vikings side of things, it's been up, down, up, down, up, down. It's been win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. So now they sit here at 3-3. Where are you in this one? What do you think about the injury situation, about this number cutting through that 3 in favor of the Chargers -3.5?
I lean to the dog, even though it's a road dog. I know we don't like these Thursday night road dogs in a vacuum, but even if Alt plays and he's saying all the right things, rap sheet Ian Rappaport said within the last hour that Ault is expected to play. I don't expect 95-100% Joe Ault. And I do think Flores is going to throw the kitchen sink at that side of the line and really test Joe Ault. It's one thing to play. It's another thing to dominate. And I just don't expect that from Joe Ault. You know, wise guys in Vegas for years have loved the Chargers in the dog roll. Love them catching 3 points. Love them catching four and a half, five, six. Not that you're going to catch that many points with this team this year. But wise guys have looked to back this team as a dog. As a favorite, you don't see that same sentiment. You don't see that financial support usually on the favorite. Now, in this scenario, you have some variables working for the Chargers. You're at home. It's a short week. You're facing a backup quarterback. I understand all that. That said, some of the sharper shops in the world and in Vegas are still sitting three. A lot of the rec books are 3.5. The sharper shops are a juice 3. 3 minus 15, 3 minus 20, 3 minus a quarter. I know the situation isn't great for Minnesota, but I still think they have the weaponry. And if you think about these Thursday night games, they've been very, very kind to the dog on Amazon. And Shope and Bulldog were talking about this last Friday when I did their show. They're like, you guys realize how good these games have been, right? Are you and Joe talking about this? I said, believe it or not, yes, we're talking about the Thursday and how they're going. But you've mentioned all the upsets. And last week it's Bengals over Steelers. We've seen Niners over Rams. We've seen Giants over Eagles. We've seen the Cowboys cover against the Eagles opening night. You have not really seen blowouts, at least on the favorite side. The Giants definitely pulled away from Philly. But these games have all been competitive, Joe, for the dog. And I don't know that it's fair to run to that equation and say, oh, all the games on Amazon are close because that's what the league wants. I don't think that's completely fair to say, but you wouldn't be inaccurate with that statement that these games have been very competitive for the dog.
Well, I think they're not complaining about it, but probably the biggest reason is look at the matchups. So what the league did, you know, even if they don't announce it, is what they did is prioritize the primetime games, which is probably something they should have done because they know 1 o'clock Eastern every Sunday we're in no matter what. There's not a lot of football fans that are saying, you know what? I'm going to skip. I'm not going to sit in front of my TV for the next 6 hours if they don't have something to do. And I'm not going to watch Sunday Ticket because you know what? This card is awful. They know that among the games, there's going to be some great moments. The witching hour is going to be thrilling at some point, right? That's usually the case. And you have fewer games in the late afternoon. But let's prioritize these primetime games. Now, it used to be Monday night was the thing. Then Sunday night became the thing. Like, that's always the highest rated TV show in the country. Like, you look at it at the end of the year, Sunday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. It's crazy. And they've made a point to improve the product on Monday night. You have Buck and Aikman. Let's do this. There were some games that were honestly garbage. You got a better broadcast. Let's make sure these games are pretty solid. So they prioritize the primetime games, usually the Fox one that has that 425 window. That's usually a good one. And Thursday. I mean, Thursday, if you remember, it used to be a lot of Jacksonville, a lot of garbage. Like, now it would be teams like the Titans and the Dolphins and the Saints, stuff like that. We're not getting that. What'd they do? What do we get every week? This week, the exception. But it's usually divisional matchups, which end up being closer games because the teams know one another. But you go into this year, Vikings were awesome last season. Chargers, Harbaugh's second year, you expected them to take a bump. Like, you know they're going to kind of contend on some way. Like, maybe these are second-tier teams in the league. Not championship contenders, but certainly playoff contenders. And so they put themselves in a position where they're going to have closer, more competitive games.
I'm taking the points, for sure.
I get it.
And I'm looking at Justin Jefferson. I know that we don't like to play the small sample size game, but they have really leaned on him from a target standpoint. Last three games, 11, 11, and 10 in terms of targets. Let me pull out my calculator. Kidding. That's 32. 32 targets, and here are the yardage clips. 126, 123, 79. Now, I'm not, you know me, I'm not looking at the box score and saying, oh, he's gone over in three straight, but I look at the target number, and they've really leaned on him. Also, because it's a backup quarterback with Carson Wentz, you're not getting these big numbers. I remember early in the season, Jefferson had a yardage number of 92.5, 93.5, and now we're all the way down to 80.5 at BetMGM. If he's going to get 10 targets tonight and you're going to hang an 80.5, I'm going to bite that hook. I might not win, but if they're going to target him the way they've been targeting him, again, 32 targets last three games, I like his chances to hit that low 80.5. That's just me.
Okay, so I was looking at these teams big picture rest of the way, and I think the Chargers, once their offensive line gets healthier, that they're going to be okay, right? It's also interesting with this matchup because you have defenses that really underperformed a week ago. So I think we might get better play out of those units. But I was looking big picture, and we could talk with Charge about this later on. Pull up the Vikings schedule for me. I want to see if you have the same reaction that I did. I'm just looking at the state of the team, the quarterback play, questions about McCarthy. What is the long-term plan there? What about Wentz? What are you going to end up doing with this season? So Vikings, it's been up and down. They sit now 3-3 on the year. You've got this game at the Chargers tonight. Sam, I was looking at the rest of the year, and this sounds crazy sitting in later October, but I view this as the Vikings for a must-win game. I hate that term, but I truly do. So if you start going through that list, that schedule, how many games do you feel very confident that the Vikings are going to win?
Very confident?
Ugh. Yeah. Like they're going to be a favorite of at least a field goal. How about that?
You could be favored against Chicago. I don't think that it's by a field goal. Depending on Daniels for Washington, you could be favored. If he's out, you're favored by more than three. And that might be it, because you're not favored against the Lions. You're not favored against the Packers. Those games are at home. And then on the road, you're probably not favored at all. You go to Detroit, yeah. Green Bay, Seattle, Dallas,
dude,
and the Giants.
This is brutal.
To answer your question, how many am I confident they win? None.
You know, and like the Giants, oh, that's tougher than we thought. The Cowboys, oh, I didn't know they were going to be like the best offense in the league or like top two, top three. Like, it is wild when you look at this. They still haven't played Detroit. You mentioned that. At Seattle, that's tougher than we thought before the year. This is brutal. So I looked at their updated win total, 7.5. Mm. You got to get four more to go to the over. I'm just, the way things are shaping up early in the season and the way that schedule is now looking as we take a view of it, I think they're going under. I think they're going to be the last place team in the NFC North. But the point being, this is a massive spot tonight at the Chargers with the state of that team. Like, you've got to grab a win in this spot tonight.
I think they can do it. I honestly do. Yeah. And this will literally be a swing gate for the rest of the way. They win tonight, you feel a lot better. You lose tonight, all of a sudden the mountain looks very unclimbable.
Yes, Paul, we did laugh at you when you said Vikings worst record. There's a difference between the worst record in the NFC North and the NFL. You know, they're not even part of that conversation.
Details.
Worst teams. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit yesterday. True, details. Survivor next. This is Bet Switz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich, survival of the fittest, going down. Yeah, a lot of people this week have said, man, I really wish I was alive in Survivor still. Could use that dream of the money. I love the beer bong. I think that is so good. I never really thought about that comment, but just the beer bong of the contest, it's so true with that movie clip. We'll do one. We'll just do one. Like, no. Like, I'm already thinking about I have a bunch of spots in numerous pools for this year. And Sam, I'm already thinking about maxing out next year in Circa. It's they get your hooks in you, man. As soon as people are eliminated, they're thinking, all right, should I buy back in? Because you can buy pieces now on the internet. Like, oh, I'll buy 20% of this one or whatever. It's just once you're eliminated, it hurts. But then you're thinking, how do I get back in?
I've been out for a long, long time in Survivor. I hate to break it
revival.
To you.
You're thinking Revival.
I'm thinking nothing. Revival. No more Survivor. No more Touchdown Survivor. No more Kelly in Vegas. No more. No more crack to the crackhead. I'm good on the pools. I was laughing though. The Chicago
I'm
boys.
Do, I think I'm
going to
do a revival.
They want to do for you. More entries next year, and I don't want any part of more entries. I really don't.
Tom, I'll take your spot.
Okay,
I'll do the more. How many did you guys do?
We did two. They want to do three or four.
See. What about 10?
10. No, I don't want to do 10. I never make October.
You got to max out. You got to max out. All right. This week in Survivor, week 8, NFL. Look, it's obvious, but I'm going to explain why you should probably do this. I don't want to take the blame if something crazy happens, but obviously we go to the highest point spread, and we have it's not as much of a gap anymore since Mariota is going to be playing for Washington. But the biggest point spread of the week is 2 touchdowns. It's 14. There are some places that are leaning 14.5. Maybe they end up going there. The Colts favored over the Titans, a divisional matchup. The biggest reason why, Sam, any pool that I have the Colts available with in that I will be using them is future value. Even though the Colts are having a very good season, they have little future value. So you have a team that's on fire, a 2-touchdown favorite, and if you look down the road, I'm like, oh, at KC, they'll be a dog. At Seattle, probably be a dog. Other games, Pittsburgh on the road, Atlanta, Houston, Jacksonville, twice divisional matchups. San Francisco, when they're probably going to be healthier. No future value, 2-touchdown favorite, any spot where I have not used Indianapolis. Sam, I think you've got to use the Colts this week if you haven't yet.
I still think the Chiefs are interesting. I've heard a lot of people saying you don't want to use the Chiefs. I mean, people are going to say that about the Chiefs all the way through. You got to save the Chiefs. Got to save the Chiefs. I don't think they're losing this game. How many times can you say you're going to save a team and then eventually you get to the end and you don't want to use them ever because they're just playing good teams down the stretch? Now, is there a spot or two down the road for the Chiefs? Of course. But I think a lot of people with the great teams, they kick the can down the road. And the reality is teams like Kansas City historically don't have much to play for in week 17 and 18. Now, maybe it's different this year because KC started with all the losses early in the season, but I never understood people saving the Buffaloes, the Phillies, the Kansas Cities. Well, I'll use them 16, 17, 18 when a lot of times they're not giving you a full go in week 17, week 18. So I don't know. Again, I've famously said on this show, I suck at Survivor, but it feels like Kansas City is in a very, very decent spot to win this game. Prime time at home, you're favored by 12.5, 13. How many better spots are there for Kansas City and Survivor? I can't think of one.
And here's the best reason that to use Kansas City this week, to your point. I don't know if I will, but they're a good selection, a very good selection. If you go on Pool Genius projections for ownership this week, Indy, number one, 32%. Atlanta, 25%. Cincinnati, 16%. New England, 10%. Philadelphia, 6%. Pool Genius is saying that in the majority of pools, based on the data that they have right now, that you can take the second biggest favorite of 12.5, 13 range. You get Patrick Mahomes, the offense, the way they're moving, going against a backup quarterback at low ownership. Meaning if it's a wonky week, very good chance that you're in an awesome spot and you're just sitting pretty. And maybe you're one of the few people that are left. So to your point, with everything you said, I'll add on to that. You get them when nobody else is on them too, which is an amazing spot to be in.
If you had one entry, and I know you have more because you're good at Survivor, unlike me, you've got what, 13 bullets left, give or take?
Something like that, yeah, give or take.
Must be nice, Paul, to just say, I don't know how many I have. I think I have 13, maybe 13.
Just like 13. Yeah.
No big deal. I may have joined two more pools last week.
Oh, so that's why you don't know, because you're an addict. That's why you don't know exactly how many pools you have. Got it. Okay.
Yes.
Daddy needs more. Okay. All right. So let's just throw double digits on it. You have double digit entries left, and that's good. That's awesome for you. I am very happy for you. If you had one, we're going to play the hypothetical game. My phone is telling me to stop using hand gestures. So I'm going to stop using hand gestures. I just got that prompt on my vMix. Stop using hand gestures. Okay. If you had one entry.
Who cares at this point?
this week, this is the cherry on the sundae of a very, very hectic week. If you had one entry, Joe, are you taking
it? I dare you to tell me about my hand gestures today.
I got a hand gesture for you, Apple. Are you taking Indy or KC if you have one entry? You got a golden bullet. You can only take one. Indy or KC?
Oh, I got one. I'm going game theory. I go with KC.
Okay, follow up. Indy or KC in Circa, where KC is a Thanksgiving option and a Christmas option.
And a Christmas.
Yeah, that complicates.
Do I have other options? Do I have other decent options?
Like,
you know, did I
on
save
those
anybody
days?
Else? Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
right.
Hold, please.
I'll tell you guys, like, honestly, Atlanta is where's the music?
Who are you?
Get the 3-2-1 music.
That's it. By the way, let's not to get off rails here, but I think let's chart that segment too. We should track that segment in the future. Who are you? That could be a great segment. Who are you?
Who are you?
Atlanta.
All right.
Is there another spot? Other spot to use them? See, they're going to be popular though. But like, I think they're going to win, and you get to just survive another day and mark Atlanta off. Because if you don't use them now, I don't know when you will.
Yeah, that's where I came down. Like, I have one spot for Colts. I have less than five, Sam, for the record. I think I've got like four spots.
Okay.
So I'll use the one spot. I used Colts in most of them already. So I'll use the one spot I have left in Colts. With Colts, I'll use them. I'm going to use at least one or two Atlanta, but now you got me thinking Chiefs. I don't know that I can do it in Survivor. Just to come back to the hold, please. Packers, Lions, Chiefs, Cowboys, Bengals, Ravens on Thanksgiving. I guess maybe Ravens. And then if you go to Christmas, you got Cowboys, Commanders, Lions, Vikings, Broncos, Chiefs. So you might be able to get away without using Chiefs. If you had multiple entries, I might burn one here.
I like the three that we mentioned. I have a list of teams that I'm probably not going to use. So I want to quickly rifle through those and tell me if you guys disagree. Okay, Buffalo off the bye at Carolina. I'd rather not use a team at Carolina because they play well at home and, you know, it could be a one-week bump for that. I want to see the Bills do it, right, before I start taking them with my survivor life. Philly, Giants. Man, the Giants look so good right now. They're kind of scary right now. I don't want to pick on them. So if I have other options, I'd rather go there. New England, Cleveland. After a three-game road trip, yes, they're on a roll. I want to see Drake May do it against a great defense. He's going to have his opportunity with Cleveland, so I don't want to use New England in Survivor. Cincinnati. Flacco, I don't think he's good. So everything came together last Thursday. And to bank on that performance happening again, because we all saw it last Thursday, I think is a little bit dicey, even though you're going against a backup quarterback. And then Baltimore, Chicago, like, look, yeah, I think Baltimore's going to win. But Lamar practiced for the first time yesterday. I don't know how healthy he is. I think he's going to be good to go. I expect this number to close at a touchdown or higher. But I want to see it from Lamar. I want to see him back from the injury. I want to see this team look good because they still only have one win on the season. So with so many options, that's a list that I'm probably not going to take. Buffalo, Philly, New England, Cincinnati, Baltimore.
I would do Baltimore. You know they're winning.
You would.
I don't know about covering. They should win, though.
Are you worried about Lamar's health? Like they still haven't said he's in yet.
I'm more worried that he's picking up those. Did you see the picture of him at the fast food place with the two trays?
The taco?
Yeah. I'm like, yes. Dude, you eat like me. What are you doing? Aren't you recovering from an injury? Why do you have two plates? Two containers?
Did you see?
That's what I'm worried about.
I think you know why. You know why, right?
No.
Dude, he was. All the stories about the video was like he was high as hell.
Oh.
He was flying. Now, I don't know. Maybe you would be able to tell better than me.
Maybe.
We can dissect that further. Matt Fortuna on the other side. College football. This is Bet Sweats. Joe O. Sammy P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.